the land of Goshen, he was still able to keep, right? And when Brother Leroy was talking here this morning in the Sunday school class, I got to thinking how many times we read the scriptures and yet we do not comprehend what we're reading. And I don't mean that in putting anybody down, but what I'm saying is we read them with our natural man and we forget our spiritual man will enlighten us as to what this scripture is, because we need to realize something, that thing, you could call it whatever you want, but it is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in man, was there looking over, prompting, and giving to that man that was writing the very words that I'm reading. So if he was able to prompt, to look over the shoulder and convey to that man what he wanted that man to write, do you not think today, in this day and this hour, when you and I are reading those words that were conveyed to that man, that Holy Spirit will convey to you and I what he means when he said, here it is, now I'm going to convey to you in your spirit, man, what this is saying. I want you to realize something this morning, that Brother Leroy tiptoed around some things that the Lord had given to me, but I want you to realize something this morning, that when 1 John 5:14 made the statement to you and I, and this is not my text, this is a freebie, it says, and this is the confidence we have in him. You know, our problem, I do believe, is the fact that we have forgotten the elements of the word believe. The elements of the word believe are that we have faith in him, we trust him, we adhere to him. You know, if we're going to believe what God's word is telling us, then when it says in Timothy to study to show thyself approved, there is a reason why he calls the body to study his word. There's a reason why he said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to realize Paul saying, and this I press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus. It is a daily pressing. I told you last week that it's time the body of Christ went to war. We cannot go to war if we don't have the elements to fight with. The elements to fight with are the sword of the Spirit of God. Now, yeah, I know, it's not like it was. Last week he troubled the waters for prayer. He's not troubling the waters this morning. You know, this is the thing we have to realize. People, we have to quit setting back when we need something from God and God troubles the waters. That's the time to get in. It's not the time to set back and wait thinking, oh, I'll just take the time. Listen, it is the time when the waters are troubled to get in, not the time to look around and see who's getting in and who's not getting in. If you have need from God of something, then get in the waters when it is trouble. You wonder why you don't get this or you don't get that. You wonder why you pray and pray and pray and your prayers are never answered. Sometimes he's trying to answer your prayer. Sometimes he may send somebody to talk to you. Sometimes he may send the word to talk to you. And other times he may send the angel of God that troubles the waters and he expects you to get in and get what you need. I can tell you this. I bet that if I put across this altar both sides here and I had God came down and put all his blessings here and here, we wouldn't hesitate to get up and get his blessings, would we? Some of us might, because you look at me like I got six heads. Well, that's all right. But you see, the thing I'm trying to say is you're only going to get from God what you want. You say, how do you say that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He fulfilled the conditions, and you go to him. You have no conditions to fill because he paid the price already. Did you realize? You know, like Brother Leroy, he said God paid the price. And then he stands. What does he say? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The world's not going to give you rest. God is the only rest in a troubled world. And it doesn't always happen right away. I look at a man by the name of Joseph that ended up being the second in command in Egypt. And yet, I look at the Joseph that was thrown in the pit. I look at the Joseph that was taken out of the pit and sold into slavery. I look at the Joseph that ended up in jail. I look at the Joseph that was lied about and he ended back in the jail. People, you have got to come to the place where you realize the confidence in the Word of God. If God said it, that's done. You know, it's not this old, forgive me, it's not this, no, don't forgive me. It's not this old bumper sticker that said, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that's that. No, the Bible said it, that's that. Forget whether or not you believe it or not, that's that. This is the final line right here. Not whether you believe it or not, but it's God's word is final. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Isn't that what he said? Heaven and earth. Do you realize something? Do you realize that if heaven and earth are going to pass away, that everything that you've got here today is going to be gone? It will be destroyed in fervent heat. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to read you something this morning, and this is my text, but I want to read you something. I shared all that to take you to this, found in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, just two verses. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Finally, you get that word? Finally. After all this other stuff, now, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things. Did he not just say to you, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest? Then he says, think on these things. Then he comes back at you and he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, then we skip over this next word. We skip this word. Because we're reading so fast that we skip because we don't always see. All of these things which you have heard or learned, received, heard, and seen, he says, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Think think what I'm saying this morning, the things that he's just instructed you on are the things that he wants you and I to do. He said in James 1 and 22, he says, be a doer, not a hearer only. You see, we can hear this word. We can go to Sunday school and we can receive the word. We can receive the teaching. We can see the people's lives in front of us. But he said, my life is the one that you're supposed to pattern yourself after. Listen, Brother Kreiner is not your example. Ariana is not your example. Pastor Frank is not your example. Although they should be living according to thus saith the word of God. But the example that every single one of us should be trying to follow after is a man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's who our example is. That's who you and I should be patterning our life after, not after a man that's walking around here today. You see, if there be any virtue in these things, honesty, truthfulness, upright, you understand what I'm saying? He gave you all of the things. And yet, so often, we get into the place and time where the things, we wonder why Christians get lackadaisical. We wonder why the church of Laodicea became a lukewarm church. It is because, like Brother Leroy was teaching, it got to the place and time where we begin to put other things between us and our God. You see, if I were to take this altar here and I were to shove it out here like this and I were to shove it over like this so that I could push it, which I'm not going to lift it, but if I were to push it and I pushed it here where it's against the wall, right? That end is against the wall. And if I were to start, I'm in tune with God. I'm right with God. Me and God are one. But you know something? If I begin to allow the things of the world, the cares of the world, the oppressions of things that come at me, the things that I should be filtering out, if I begin to allow them to dwell in my mind and stay in my mind and take root in my mind, then the more that I let stay in my mind, then the less and less I am close to Him. And the farther and farther and farther and farther and farther until I get to the place where I'm so far away from Him that I can't reach Him in the time of trouble, in the time of stress, in the time when the enemy comes at me, because I have gotten away from Him. He did not leave me, I left Him. The cares of this world, you see, the sower sows the seed. But then the enemy comes along and the cares, or if you really, you want to be technical, the tares that are planted in our begin to grow. And when the tares begin to grow, they're there with the good thoughts, but the bad thoughts are there. If we do not bring our mind under control. He said, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, present your body, that includes your mind, your hands, your eyes, your mouth, your feet. It includes everything there is. Your body. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, present your body a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. One that's got some life into it. One that's not afraid to witness. One that's not afraid to talk. One that's not afraid to be what God's called him to be. Everybody said, oh, I can't do that. Don't tell me that. The Word of God said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God's Spirit will strengthen you to do what he called you to do. But be not conformed. Be not conformed. Don't be the world. Come ye out. Touch not the unclean things of the world. And then I receive you that where I am, there you may be also. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed that you may prove. I can't prove, I can't stand, I can't have confidence if I'm conforming to the things of the world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of my mind, bringing all thoughts and imaginations into captivity to the knowledge of God. It has to line up with thus saith the word of God. If it doesn't, then get rid of it. Oh, but you know, I had so-and-so, and they came to me, and they gave me a word from God. I asked the question, did it come to pass? Well, no, it's, well, it was kind of, well, you know, Pastor, it was, you know, I read someplace in this book, and you know, don't hold me to it, but I read someplace in this that it says, and if they prophesy a thing and it come not to pass, then chalk them up as a false prophet. Ooh. And I read someplace in here what they do to false prophets. I don't know about you, but, you know, it said they took them out and stoned them to death. Oh, and yet we're so free and easy. You see, that's why, you know, your pastor's very cautious. It's got to be the Holy Ghost pushing through me to give somebody a word. Because the only thing that word should do is confirm what God's already given them. You see, but I'm very cautious because I'm not fearful, but I'm fearful of who He is. But you see, we were talking to a lady the other day, and the lady was telling us about she'd been to this church, and she'd been to that church, and she'd been to this church, and she'd been here, and she'd been there. And a lot of times I stop at New Covenant, she says, and I looked at her and I said, the reason you stop at New Covenant is because they've got a tremendous music program, right? She said, yeah. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. Never in all the churches, Sister Ruth, not one time in all the churches that she was mentioning where she had been, did I hear one word said about the Word of God coming across the pulpit. Not once did I hear about a move of the Spirit. Not once did I hear how many were saved. Not once did I hear those things. People, if those things are not happening, then the Spirit of God is not in that place. I don't care what name you put over the door. Man made all the names in the first place because the Word of God said, when I come back, will I find faith? Will I find unity in the body? I don't have Baptist written on that thumb and Methodist written on that finger and Catholic written on that finger and Jehovah. You know, what I'm saying is we're all part of God's body. But man says, well, because you don't walk the way I walk, I'm going to go over here and walk this way. Another man said, I'm going to walk this way. And the next thing you know, we've got so many. Listen, the only church was the church that was formed on the day of Pentecost when Peter came down out of the upper room and preached, and it said 3,000 were saved, and they were added to the church daily such as should be saved. Didn't say anything about a name. It said the church, God's church. How shall men know that ye are my disciples except ye have love one for another? Can I tell you a little secret? You know, you won't tell anybody this, will you? But without love, you're not of God's. Because God is love. Plain and simple. You either are or you're not. You can sit in the right pew. You can sing the right song. You can raise your hands at the right time. And I'm going to tell you something, you may not like this, but you can speak with tongues all you want to. But even the scripture in Corinthians chapter 13 said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, have not love, it is tingling brass. It is nothing more than a sounding cymbal. He said all of these things do He didn't say, listen to. He said, you have to do this. And you see, the thing of it is, we strive toward the mark. You know, you ever wonder why Paul was striving, and look what Paul got accomplished? Because he didn't let the enemy stop him from pressing forward. Oh, the enemy boiled him in oil, tried to saw him in half, snake bit him, was beaten countless times. I mean, honestly, if I were a woman looking for a mate, to see Paul and to see how beaten he was, to see how, you know, listen, if I put you in a vat of hot oil and I'm going to boil you, your skin's not going to stay pink and pretty. You ladies that you know, as we go older, you put the cream and try to keep your skin without a lot of wrinkles. I don't know about you, but I believe Paul, when he was in the fire, his skin either peeled up or else God kept him in the fire like he did the three Hebrew children, which was not impossible for God. If God can make the kitty cats lay down, and he can let three men walk in the fire, and he went in the fire. You know, it says, when you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through what you're going through, God is going through it with you. Did you realize? Listen, how can you as the body of Christ go through something without the head going through it with you? He's the head of the church. What is the church? The church is a called out body of believers. Those that are relying on, have faith in, trust him. In the midst of all the things that are taking place, I trust you. Peter even said, yet though you slay me, will I trust you? Will you? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What can man do to you that God can't deliver you from? Listen, when you see a loved one and that loved one passes away, it hurts. But isn't it funny that as you keep going in life and you keep living, you get over that? Who do you think gets you over that? Yourself? Time? Listen. There are times that I can remember my mother's laugh. I hear somebody laugh, and I can remember my mother's laugh. My daughter may bake something, and I can remember the day I went by my mother's house to pick up that thing that my mother baked for me. You know, the memories are there, but the pain, the hurt is not there. Who takes care of that? The Spirit of the living God, not a dead God. He's alive. You see, this is the confidence we have in him. You know, I like what you said, Brother Leroy, this morning. You were tiptoeing all around my message, but I liked what you said, how frivolous, you know what I'm saying, how disconcerting we are about the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we sing the song, the blood will never lose its power. You know, but do we ever consider the life that was in that blood that reaches out even today? Think about it. It's reached out over 2,000 years, and it's still, that blood, you see, it'll never lose its power. Don't you understand how precious is that blood that we apply to our lives? The blood we plead over our children and our grandchildren when they're not where you can reach out and lay your hands on them. And you plead the blood, you know. And yet churches today don't want to sing the blood song. They don't want to speak about the blood. They want to get the blood out. They want to take it out. You know, guess what we're doing? We're tampering with the love of God. We're tampering with his love when we take his blood out of our relationship. Because without the shedding of his blood, there could be no remission of sin on yours and my part. You see, it can't be remitted. But when I think on these things, I think what he's done. I think how he's kept me. I think how he's kept my children. I think how he's kept my grandchildren. I think, Brother Mike, when I'm going down the road on the way home sometimes or coming to church, and how the car or truck will come into my lane, and all of a sudden when you say the name of Jesus, why, it goes back on the other lane. Or when you have to pull off to the side of the road, or when the car goes in front of you and you're driving down the road and something seems to push it out of the way so that you can go by. You think, do you realize what you have received by accepting? You know, I wondered, Sister Jill, I wondered about the two thieves. One ignored, one received, one accepted. Did you remember what he said to that one that was hanging next to Jesus? You know, when he said, this man hath no sin in his body. And this one looked at him and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, this day. Whew. Can you think about it? He said, this day. And what does it say? Now is the day of salvation. When did you receive what the... I know you're all going to throw rocks at me too, but think about this. When did you receive that which you had need of? When the thief was hanging there and he said what he said, he received. When did he receive it? He received it right then and there. Do you not realize the time you came to the altar or wherever you made your altar, when you went to that place and you cried out from the heart? You didn't cry out with your mouth, even though you heard the words, but you were crying out from your heart. And you said, forgive me. You received. Didn't have to wait. You received. What could allow you to drive having in the natural a heart attack? What could cause you to be able to drive from point A to point B without wrecking along the way, without dying along the way? Only the life that you received when you accepted. Do you realize when you accepted Jesus Christ, you accepted life? What did he say in Ephesians 3:19? He said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we can think or ask, according to the power working in us. What power? It's the living word of God that dwells in our heart working for us. You say, well, I don't see, you know, sometimes you have to realize that some of the things that are promised, if you will, are going to be laid up for you in the kingdom of God. You may not receive everything right here. It's laid up. What did he say? Lay up your treasures in heaven where the moths can. Listen, we've got to be laying up treasures. We've got to be laying up prayers. You say, why is that? Because the word of God said in Revelation, it said when the vial was opened, it was the prayers of the saints. What prayers? How many times do you pray for the neighbor? How many times do you pray for
for the man across the street. How many times do you get down to pray, and when you know not how to pray, the Holy Ghost begins to pray through you? Who are you praying for? You may be praying for China. You may be praying for Australia. You may be praying for someplace else that you have known not of, but the Holy Ghost needed you to pray. So he impressed you.
You say, well, I don't hear the voice of God like you do. I didn't say I. You know, the one time I've ever heard it audibly. But I'm going to tell you this. When I'm reading that word and all of a sudden it's a push. Ooh, I know somebody's trying to say something, Sister Betty. You know, when I'm praying in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit drops something into my mind, I know it's not me. I know it's not me. It's the Holy Ghost putting that in there. And he said, the things you've learned, you got to learn some things. The things you've heard, you got to hear some things. There's other people out here that have got a tremendous amount of knowledge. Listen, I'm not bragging on an 80-year-old man that's not here today, but I'm going to tell you something. Tap into this knowledge of 80 years. Tap into some of these other people that have been around for a while. You know, just because Betty's quiet and sets up here, you don't know what knowledge Sister Betty has inside of her. Have you ever tapped her knowledge? I asked my aunt, 96 years old. I said, Aunt May, you need to be writing all this stuff down, because if you don't write it down, all of that knowledge and wisdom that you have, she says, oh, nobody wants to hear an old lady. I said, but Aunt May, you have wisdom. She says, no, I don't have any wisdom. I said, you have wisdom that you know not of, to share, to pass down. And yet she wouldn't do it, and she died, and all that knowledge, all that wisdom that she had is now gone. Because she didn't take the time. Can I tell you that the children of Israel walked around with a staff? Why do you think Moses had the staff? If you could have saw what was on the staff, the history of his family was carved in the staff, up the parts of his staff that he leaned on. The history of his family was there. It was passed down from generation to generation to generation on that staff. When he turned over his leadership to Joshua, he gave him his staff. The history of the Hebraic people was on that staff. You understand what I'm saying? I got a little book. My grandchildren got me a bunch of Christmases ago, and I've never sat down and wrote in it. And God has impressed me that I must sit down. And on the cover of the book, if I remember right, my memory's not as good as it was 20 years ago, but it's better now than it was. But it says, Papa, tell me your thoughts or stories. I don't know, one or the other is on the cover. And I got all these pages in there I got to fill out. And I got to thinking, why would they want? But then I thought, Aunt May, I wanted you, and you didn't do it. My Aunt Mariana is 87. She's on one side of the family. My Aunt May was on the other side. She's the last. What stories does she know? What wisdom does she hold? You understand? What I'm saying to you is, what wisdom? You know, these young people, they say that we complain about their music. Well, it's not my music. But you know, some of the music I used to listen to was not their music. Really wasn't my mother and dad's either. So I can handle to a degree. If I can't handle, I either move or I ask them, would you mind? But I'm going to tell you something. The thing I have to realize is that in the children of Israel, when it came time to move, the musicians went before the body, preparing the way. And I'm going to tell you, young people, old people, and middle-aged, if you're in that category,
I'm going to tell you this. If that music you bring into God's house does not lead you into worship and praise, then it's not God's kind of music. I don't care who sings it. It can be, Billy Graham can be singing, you know? If it don't lead into worship and praise. You say, well, all you sing is the old songs. Bring me a new song that leads me to worship and praise, and I'll be more than glad to ask Sister Wilbanks to play it. I'll be more than glad to put it on a CD if she can't play it the first time, but thank God she's blessed because she can hear it and she can play it. She plays by ear. You know, that's why she's got, you know, never mind. But you see, what I'm saying, it has to lead me. You understand? When Sister Ruth blows the shofar, the reason the children of Israel had the shofar blown was to lead them, or rather to call them to pray, call them to assemble, or to call them to war. That's what the shofar does. But see, the musicians prepare the way. But if it's not preparing the way for worship and praise, then I don't want it. If it's just to get me hyped up, you know, do you realize you can scratch a dog's back and his foot'll, I mean his tail, foot'll, you know, don't matter. You know? You can, can't you? Can't you scratch a dog's back and that leg will start scratching itself and his tail will start flying? You know, that's not leading me to worship and praise. All that is I'm scratching an itch he's got. You see what I'm trying to say? That whatsoever things are there, we need to contemplate, what do they do? If we've not seen them of Jesus, if we've not learned them of Jesus, if we've not heard them of Jesus, then we need to be cautious about what we receive and what we accept. Because I'm telling you, worship and praise is not coming in here and just, and here all of you are going to be upset with Pastor, and that's all right. It wouldn't be the first time I've been upset at. But when you come in and you sing a few songs and you raise your hand and you speak in tongues, that's not worship and praise. All you're doing is giving to him what is due him. But it's when you, do you ever remember, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but in the Old Testament, there was a outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies. You know, when you're singing and stuff, you're still in the outer court. When you're trying to make sure you're singing the words and stuff right and you're concerned about all that, you're in the outer court. But you see, when you come into the inner court and you get to the place and time that it doesn't care who is going to worship, but I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to praise the Lord. And hear me, I want you to hear what I'm saying. And it's not just that I'm praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that's good. But you know, when it starts coming out of here, when you start coming to the place where you say, I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you. And when it's not here, but when it's here, you know, when it's beyond that. You know, I told my son, and he gets mad at me, but I told him that, you know, I said, if you love somebody, you want to spend some time with them. You see, he tells me he's going to be married in April. Maybe. You are, and maybe you ain't. But you see, I've conveyed to him that if I love somebody, I couldn't leave them for 3 months at a time. If I love somebody, I want to be with them. If I love somebody, I have a feeling that I can't explain. You know, you really can't explain what love really is until you are in love. See, there's a difference, you know, love. but there's a difference of being in love. You see, in love, you have to remember something. And ladies, remember, I love you all. Gentlemen, I love you too. But, you know, being in love means that you don't always have your makeup on when he sees you. You don't always have your hair done when he sees you. You don't always have your teeth brushed when he sees you. You don't always have the nicest impressionable clothes on when he sees you. Can he love you in sweatpants and a sweatshirt? Can he love you in your painting attire? You know, is he in love? Listen, when I say this, I know it sounds funny, but I'm very, very serious when I say this. You know, in love means that Bonnie and I can argue. We can differ. We can fight. I can be mad. She can be mad. But I'm telling you, in love means that it's done. I don't carry it around in my hip pocket. You know, it's like the little cartoon of the married couple that's sitting in the gentleman's office that they're counseling with, and he looks at her and he says, haven't you forgiven him of that? And she looks back at the man and the counselor, and she says, yes, she said, I have, but I don't want him to forget what I forgave him of. You see, love is not forgetting. In love, forgets. See, being in love, it doesn't matter. Excuse me, if you tell all you and Bonnie have arguments, you bet your life. You bet your life. If you say you haven't argued with your wife, I'll meet you at the altar to pray for you. Listen, men, there's nothing like after a good argument to be kiss and make up. Because those things which were so aggravating there are torn down, and then the love, you're in, the love is, don't you know, it's the same. Don't you know what the Word said? The Word said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. When you come to that place where the reasoning, the arguing, when you come to that place where you've done battle, when you come to that place where you've quarreled, and it's over and done with, then there's the in love part. Why do you think, for God so loved? You think he loved what you were doing? You think he condoned the way you were living? You know, people, after the reasoning comes the in love, comes the makeup. Don't tell Bonnie I said that. I used to start arguments just to make up. Hey, but what I'm saying, what I'm trying to say to you is when you look at this, and I want you to hear when you're looking at this, hear what's being said. I know, Mike, I'm different than any person you've met. Yep, I am. I'm from a different mold. And when he made me, he threw the mold away because he could only handle one of me. Listen, when he says this, those things which ye have, didn't say you will, he said, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, those things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He's going to be with me. What? When? When I'm doing those things. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. Isn't that what the promise of God said? I'll never, just like you can get away from him, but you know what? Like I said in Sunday school, the scripture even said, though I make my home in hell, thou art with me. To every person was given the measure of faith. It's a measure of God, because without a measure, no man can get saved. Let me say that again. Without the measure, no man can get saved, because we have to accept salvation by faith. You can't see salvation.
You see, all them old preachers used to run around talking about it. Yeah, I know. They also talked about sanctified, and justified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and all of that, you know? And then they argued over that. Then they argued over that. Isn't it something when the Word of God says something and man starts an argument over the very thing that God's Word says? For instance, you know, one says you're sanctified when you got saved. Yes, I was. But I'm going to tell you something. If I go down to the store and I buy me an ice cream cone and I like it, I'm going back and give me another ice cream cone, ain't I? You see, I'm not going to eat one ice cream cone all my life. If I like ice cream, I'm not going to eat just one. You see. So somebody says, well, you know, you're sanctified. You're always sanctified. Okay. But I'm gonna go and get, if I like it, I'm going to go get more of it. Aren't you? You know. Mel brought me in something the other day. We were out to the food pantry, and he come carrying in this box of eclairs. Ooh, with Boston cream and chocolate icing, you know. Ooh, you know. Frankenmuth sells them big babies, but these little ones were just as good, you know. And I ate one. Now, Mike, I ate one. I mean, they took the lid off, and I ate one. And I walked around for a while, and guess what? They were still there. Some of them. I mean, they didn't all get disappeared in a hurry. So, Leroy, the first one was good. Oh, yes, it was. It was good, too. The second one was good. Huh? Oh, the second one's better because I know what they taste like. You see, when I got sanctified, then I know what it was, so I went to get some more of it. You see, the more I walk in the Spirit of God, the better I like it. And the more I walk, the more I want to walk in that Spirit of God. You see, when God's pouring out His blessing, if you don't want yours, that's all right. You got to get behind me, because I'm going after it. Depends which one of us can run first. Hear what I'm saying. We should be zealous of the spiritual gifts that God's got for us. We should also be zealous of His blessing. What was it? Jacob got a hold of the angel, and he said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. People, that's what the body of Christ needs to do, is get a hold of God so strong that it won't let go until God blesses them. Amen? Amen. That's one of the things. In a few minutes, I'm going to have you come up here and take communion. And hear me when I say this. Communion's not closed. The only requirement for taking communion is that you know Jesus Christ. Listen, the only requirement for being baptized in water, because all that is a free bath. You think I'm funny, but that's all it is if it means nothing more to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, all that water does is give you a free bath with your clothes on. It doesn't mean anything unless you realize what being baptized is about. Because the example, what you've learned of me, remember what it says, that thing you've learned of me? I learned it in the Word. It said, repent and be baptized. So taking communion is just an expression of following the Lord's Supper, following what He set up when He was with the disciples in the upper room. The taking of communion is symbolic of receiving His blood, of receiving His body, of following after what He set up and said, this do in remembrance of me. So that's what you're doing, is in remembrance of Him.
You're not cannibals. And you're not vampires. He said, this is my body that was broken. This is my blood. As often as you do it in remembrance. I'm not taking him off the cross and laying him on the carving table and cutting the, you know, getting the knife ready and slicing you up a piece. Or I'm not draining his blood out of his so that you can drink of it. I'm doing it, I'm showing in some, this I have learned. So I'm doing it in remembrance of him. I'm following after the thing that I have learned. Amen?